boxes, and online at boulderweekly.com.
This program is brought to you by the KGNU Listener members and by Mercury Cafe, serving local organic food powered by the wind and the sun, located at 2199 California Street in Denver. You can access 100 or more cultural events each month and get more information at mercurycafe.com.
Yes, gentle listeners, thanks for joining me on the Afternoon Sound here. KGNU, the place to be on a Friday afternoon. You know, it's really just a unique opportunity to be able to come in and play this vinyl for you all live and direct as we are doing each and every day. KGNU's bringing live people to the studio in a time when a lot of, you know, similar radio stations were not able to have their studios open for their volunteers. KGNU has made every effort to keep this open, live, and thriving. So thank you for tuning in and noting the difference as it goes. Hey, listen, we started the set with Jerry Harris, the tune Spreading All Over, just kind of like doom, basically spreading all over, I think was what he was referring to. We heard something called National Anthem from Keith Hudson off of the Creative Reggae Instrumental Dub LP. We heard the singer Johnny Clark with I Don't Want to Be a Rude Boy off his Rock Me Baby LP. The Maytones in there in this reggae set. What did we hear from the Maytones? Oh, yeah. Oh, a little something topical, just simply called Madness. Just Madness. We heard Bob Marley and the Wailers playing with the Upsetters, a dub version of Keep On Movin', nice and slow, steady skank. U-Roy featuring, Love Trio in Dub featuring U-Roy. We heard the Lovers Rock Deadbeat Knockout. And a song I've just loved for a long time, probably since like 1990 when this thing came out, the Justice League of Zion with the tune The Key to the Door. One of my little aces up the sleeve for the reggae. All right, then we switch to a world music sensation from the band, oh my goodness, Lamo Mali, Tiny Print. Lamo Mali giving us the tune Solidarity with Santi Gold, Seyu George, and a bunch of other people. Yusu Endor was on that. There's like 12 people on that track. Ended it out, the full version of Denver's own Pink Hawks, the tune Crystal Sky with the vocals of One Molina Speaks. Big up to Pink Hawks. They were the most recent feature, or maybe two times ago. They kicked off our entire series for Cultura Viva, KGNU's partnership with Raices Brewery, and arranged to get me this record from that. Thank you very much. Looking to rejoin that series. And, you know, I got some rumors, got some ideas of what might be happening, but we are going to keep our trap shut until we know exactly what is happening to bring back Cultura Viva, but it will be back. All right. We're working on innovative ways to get people to participate in music. So that would include KGNU Presents Sunday Live at 5 on Facebook. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., KGNU has a new weekly live stream showcase on our Facebook page featuring local musicians. And this Sunday, the 24th, you can hear Denver's experimental pop rock band, The Milk Blossoms. Next week, May 31st, it's guitarist-composer Michael Dalala. And on June 7th, Denver's genre-defying alternative musician, Joseph Lamar. And we had a great time with the new prom in early May, on May 2nd. And, you know, I was in a lot of communication with the teenagers making that happen. And I had a mind meld. My brain was invaded with adolescence into my mind. And I, got to see through that view. It's not always a pretty picture, folks. But it's good to be tuned into what the youth might be going through. Digging into my records, I found my school band section and wanted to play some school bands, some marching bands, some school jazz, kids playing instruments. That's what we're going to hear next. Starting off with the Casadero Music Camp, produced by the City of Berkeley. This is the 1973 Session 4. You flip over the LP. Gosh, Casadero Music Camp looks beautiful inside of the Redwood Forest. These are a bunch of lucky young musicians in 1973. It's owned and operated by the City of Berkeley Recreation and Parks Department. So, hey, Denver Parks Department, when are you guys going to put out a 12-inch? Let's check out one of the funkier numbers from the Casadero Music Group, Music Camp, for those of us that won't be at any type of camp this summer. do you like that coming in for a landing from Brass Band Heaven? I've been dishing it out to you guys. Yes, that last tune, the For Your Eyes Only James Bond ballad, as covered by the Union Grove High School 1983 Jazz Band. Yes, all of the things that we heard in this last set were either student bands or meant for student bands via sheet music. All right. So just to give you an idea, I mean, we played before that the Dickinson Lawton Rock Jazz Ensemble off their album Good Vibrations. They're covering Stevie Wonder, You Are the Sunshine of My Life. And I've actually come to prefer that version to the original. Oh my God. Before that, I think we played like Karma Chameleon by Marching Band 86. Or no, it was Take Me Home. They were tackling some Phil Collins on that. We definitely played Karma Chameleon, probably off of this Marching Band 83. We played a Blondie tune, The Tide Is High. That's off of Marching Band 81. Off of Marching Band 84. played some other stuff. What was it on the Easy Pop? Suddenly Last Summer by the Motels. Yes, it was. Before that is when we heard the Prince, the good old-fashioned Raspberry Beret. We heard Karma Chameleon, of course. We could have got into some other Madonna songs if you wanted to hear some Madonna via Marching Band. And then we heard some actual bands, college bands. So all of those other ones I just gave you up to now, all of the 80s tunes, those are sheet music advertisements, trying to get band directors to buy the sheet music for their schools. We started the set with actual bands. The incomparable Leland Stanford Junior University Marching Band covered the Beatles back in the USSR, and local group the Golden Buffalo Marching Band from the University of Colorado off of selections from 1977 performances. Indeed, Sir Duke. Sir Duke, probably still a trademark of the Golden Buffalo Marching Band in Boulder. And again, started it with Casadero Music Camp, put out by the City of Berkeley, 1973. The tune we heard was Groovin' Hard, starting things off. Oh, how time flies when you're trying to mix 1.5 minute songs. And it's hard to believe that we are poking our way towards the 3 o'clock hour, probably just one more good set of music left. So I'm going to end it on a rockin' note. We've taken quite a journey through some different spots, and by my adolescent mind meld that happened via the GNU prom, it made me really want to hear a lot of rock and roll music and bouncing off the walls at the house. So caught a good record that should go along with that quite nicely. The group Blonde Fire off their album Young Heart. This tune is Where the Kids Are. Keep it locked to your afternoon sound alternative on KGNU. The afternoon headlines are coming up, but right now we got some rocking to do.
slaves. As the fog begins to lay, and you wish that you were home in bed. Visions of evil land, visions of ill will.
It's true, folks. I will go. That's the end of the afternoon sound alternative. We heard Blonde Fire, Where the Kids Are. We heard The Faction, Terror in the Streets. We heard the Druids of Stonehenge doing Who Do You Love? We heard Special Vices in there doing a tune. Oh my gosh, TM, Let the Sound Go Boom. We heard The Bloodhounds off the album Let Loose. Babe, you cracking up. And right here we've got Stevie Caballero, You Will Go, closing it out. Stay tuned for the afternoon headlines, the community calendar, and Metro Arts. All that kicking off into the next portion of your broadcast day. Happy birthday, KGNU Community Radio. You're 42. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
With the afternoon news headlines for KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran. The state of Colorado filed a lawsuit today in federal district court in Denver over efforts to change federal regulations that protect streams and wetlands. According to a news release from the Office of the Attorney General and the State Health Department, the federal government is trying to redefine the term waters of the United States as it currently appears in the Clean Water Act. Currently, the definition includes ephemeral streams, streams that run because of melting snow or precipitation, as well as wetlands that aren't connected on the surface to larger bodies of water. The federal government is trying to change that definition, and it would exclude those water bodies, leaving them vulnerable to pollution under the Clean Water Act. The lawsuit that was filed today is asking the court to maintain the definition that has been in place since the 1980s. Public education in Colorado will see a significant reduction in funding if a new proposed budget is approved by lawmakers. Chalkbeat Colorado reports that on Thursday afternoon, the six members of the state's Joint Budget Committee cut more than 15% from the state's $4.5 billion K-12 public education budget. The committee has been trying for the past 2 weeks to craft a state budget with $3.3 billion less available due to the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Chalkbeat reports that the cuts to education include $147 million in grant programs and a $577 million reduction in base school funding. Yesterday's K-12 budget comes just days after the JBC cut spending for higher education by 58%. The Colorado House and Senate must still approve the budget. Lawmakers are scheduled to reconvene at the state capitol next week for a short session. The cuts will be offset somewhat by this week's announcement of nearly $1 billion in federal money being allocated to public schools in the state. Governor Jared Polis on Monday announced that of the $1.6 billion that the state is receiving in federal aid, a combined $510 million will go towards K-12 and $450 million for public higher education institutions. Speaking earlier today, Jeff Zayak, the executive director of Boulder County Public Health, said that the stay-at-home measures that had been in place in the county have had a positive impact in the county's capacity to deal with the coronavirus. But he reminded people that social distancing is crucial for the new safer-at-home phase to be effective.
So as things begin to open up a little bit more, we know more people are getting out. Maintaining that 6 foot of social distancing distancing is our primary way to reduce the spread of this disease. That disease cannot spread unless we are maintaining close contact with each other. So if we are preventing the close contact, we are preventing the spread of the disease. If we are running into scenarios where it's difficult to maintain 6 feet of social distancing, please, please, please wear a mask. A mask is not a panacea, but a mask will help reduce the spread of the large droplets that can spread this disease.
Zayach said these measures are crucial for any further reopening in the county, but they rely on people taking responsibility for their actions.
We don't have enough staff in public health to assure that everybody is doing that. And our police departments don't have the staff, nor do we want to be enforcing and putting people in jail associated with not following these things. We want people to take responsibility.
Zayach cited the crowds that gathered at Boulder Creek earlier in the week as an example of what not to do. You can find all of our local news stories online at news.kgnu.org, as well as resources and information about the coronavirus pandemic. For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran. Stay tuned for the community calendar.
This week's community calendar is sponsored by KGNU Presents Sunday Live at 5 on Facebook. KGNU is kicking off a new weekly live stream showcase from our Facebook page every Sunday at 5 p.m. featuring local musicians. On May 24th, catch Denver's experimental pop rock band, The Milk Blossoms. On May 31st, classical guitarist Michael DeLalla will perform. This is the community calendar for Friday, May 22nd. MESA, the organization Moving to End Sexual Assault, will host its annual K9 Classic 5K event beginning Saturday, May 23rd. Due to COVID-19 social distancing and Colorado's Safer at Home orders, the event will be hosted virtually this year, and participants will have a full week to complete their 5K. You can walk or run, with or without your pooch, anytime between May 23rd and May 30th. To register, go to their website at movingtoendsexualassault.org/K9Classic2020. To put your events online, go to kgnu.org.
This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Metro.
Support comes from the Dairy Arts Center, featuring art experiences for residents of Boulder and beyond, including live performances, art gallery exhibitions, and movie screenings. More information at dairyartscenter.org.
Arts and culture make Colorado one of the most attractive, vibrant, and exciting places to live. Colorado employs more than 100,000 artists and creative entrepreneurs. These artists and musicians have been critically impacted by the COVID-19 public health crisis and the resulting cancellation of performances and exhibitions for their peak spring to fall season. Colorado Artist Relief Fund is helping Colorado artists survive and retain their talent in our state. More information about the Arts Relief Fund at ColoradoCreativeIndustries.org.
Welcome to Metro Arts. I'm your host, Veronica Straitlingo. Coming up, I'll speak with Eve Orenstein with Opera on Tap Colorado. They dove into online performances as early as March, and with these events, Opera on Tap continues their reverent and irreverent celebration of opera with an ongoing curated video event called Love in the Time of COVID-19, an Apocalypse Cabaret. Their next cabaret is tomorrow night at 7 on Facebook, and the theme is The French versus the Spanish. On After Image, Boulder Weekly film critic Michael Casey discusses the Cannes Film Festival, which should have been happening this week. He discusses the history of the Cannes, the significance of the Palme d'Or, and revisits some of his favorite Palme d'Or winners that you can catch on streaming right now. All that coming up. But first, I sit down with Stephen Weitz, the producing artistic director of the Boulder Ensemble Theater Company. We discuss their Ghost Lights series, a series of behind-the-scenes videos, interviews, and play readings featuring many familiar faces to Betsy audiences. You can catch the Ghost Lights series at betc.org. I spoke with Stephen about where Betsy was as things shut down, and beyond that, what Betsy is doing now and how it continues to move forward.
We had actually just closed Bloomsday a short while before, and we were a few days out from beginning our rehearsals for Oslo, the Tony Award-winning play by J.T. Rogers. We had been in conversations for, you know, a week or so as we kind of saw the wave of the coronavirus spreading. And fortunately, our board and our staff were able to kind of get out in front of it planning wise. But we ultimately, you know, publicly canceled the production and ceased operations on that Friday, that fateful Friday. And our rehearsals were scheduled to begin on the following Tuesday. So we were very close to launching into rehearsals. In some ways, you know, obviously it's horrible that everything that's happened and that we weren't able to continue with our show. But in some ways it was a blessing that we hadn't already begun rehearsals and gotten sort of further into that process and made, you know, more investments in materials and things like that, because it allowed us to sort of recoup a little bit financially what we would have lost.
Boulder Ensemble Theater Company is a professional company in Boulder, which means you have staff. You have programs in which you pay writers in residence as well. So this is no doubt a pretty big hit.
It certainly is, yes. And for every theater company, you know, it's an industry that's so based on ticket sales and revenue and butts and seats and all those kind of things. And then the margins are so slim for companies to survive. So, yeah, it's certainly been a blow. We've been very fortunate and we've really worked hard to try and do right by our people. We were able to pay everybody involved with Oslo 2 weeks salary, even though we hadn't started rehearsals yet. We've been able to retain all of our staff so far, in part because of the access to the PPP funds through the CARES Act. So we, you know, that's been our focus, is how do we take care of our people? How do we make sure that the folks who make Betsy what it is can continue to be part of the organization? Obviously, that's going to be something that has to require continual reanalysis of where are we now and what does the cash flow look like going forward? How can we replace some of that lost revenue that we would normally have from subscriptions and ticket sales and things like that? But that's the dance that, you know, not just art